Want a more fault-tolerant data center? Bring the availability of cloud computing inside your data center with the only server built from the cloud up.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to this episode of TechNet Radio, and we're going to talk, this is part two of our DevOps series, and we actually have a lot of really interesting things to talk about. And when we bring up the concept of DevOps, it's kind of more of a how versus a what, right? And we're going to talk about the process, but I actually have a great guest with me, and Keith Mayer. Keith, want to introduce yourself?
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me on the episode, Matt. Really appreciate it. Hi, everybody. Welcome. My name is Keith Mayer. I'm a senior technical evangelist on the same team as Matt. I'm based in the U.S. in Columbus, Ohio, and the cloud and DevOps has really been a hot topic of conversation lately with a lot of the IT pros in my community, as Matt's indicated. So I'm really excited to be here for today's episode.
Yeah, and as Keith mentioned, we're on the same team. My name's Matt Hester. I'm also an IT pro evangelist. Keith's based up in the Heartland. I'm based down in South Central in the great state of Texas, and Keith's up in Ohio, actually my old hometown. So we actually have some ties together. What's great about DevOps, Keith, when we think about this today, you know, what are you hearing? What are you hearing from your crowd, from the folks you work with in your communities? Because people, you know, it depends on what time of the day it is and who you ask, you know, what DevOps actually is. And it's not a, you know, people like, well, there's a what, right? I can touch it and feel it. Well, not really. What are you hearing?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think the overall piece that I hear initially from a lot of IT pros is confusion around exactly, which is what you're really alluding to, confusion around what DevOps really truly is. You know, some people think, hey, is DevOps, some new role in our IT department? You know, are we going to have a DevOps engineer that's going to help us with this DevOps thing that everybody keeps talking about? Or is it a set of tools that are being used to manage solution delivery and application development and deployment differently? And at the end of the day, it's neither. It's not a new role. It's not a new set of tools. It's really a methodology or a culture that a lot of organizations are moving towards to take people and processes and tools and technologies, products, and be able to marry them up in a more collaborative way for being able to deliver solutions more rapidly and with higher reliability and better overall visibility end to end. So one of the big differences that I see when we start talking about DevOps versus traditional agile development or waterfall IT project management is that instead of looking at delivery as a single huge monolithic project for a new application being rolled out, with DevOps, it's really treating that as more of a constant flow between the development teams and the operations teams with feedback loops baked into the process to try to eliminate that silo of dev versus ops that exists in a lot of organizations where the dev teams build their solutions and kind of pitch them over the wall to the ops team for deployment and monitoring and whatnot. That just, you know, within today's world of businesses accelerating their own business processes, we're finding more and more IT organizations saying, hey, we really need to find a way to get our dev and ops teams working more strategically. And so it's not a role or a tool. It's really a collection of people, processes, and product that are working more collaboratively end-to-end on a continuous basis for solution delivery.
Yeah, and it's really trying to, when we talk about it with the audiences, especially because you and I are both IT pro audiences. It's definitely something that's impacting our world, but it's also the developers trying to get that code out. I mean, because we're a long way away from, hey, I just wrote my code for 6 months and they throw it over the wall, and us in operations and IT are trying to figure out, okay, how do we deploy this thing? We really have to shorten this cycle. So DevOps from a standpoint isn't what I would call a new term. It's been around for a while, but we haven't been very good at it. And I think it's because we haven't had some key enabling technologies. So Keith, when you think about, we've had this exciting thing, you know, the cloud computing's here to stay. I mean, it's something that's really trying to really revolutionize how we look at IT operations, how we look at development. How can the cloud really be leveraged to help accelerate this? Because it seems like DevOps conversations just really started picking up speed in about the last 6 months or a year or so, where they kind of, well, DevOps, people didn't really talk about it, but cloud seems to be really helping that. How do you see it's helping it, helping our customers look at the cloud?
Yeah, and that's a great question. Although DevOps is in a set of tools, as we said, one of the challenges that I see in a lot of organizations is that moving forward in transitioning towards more of that DevOps culture can be oftentimes a very long life cycle for large organizations, you know, anywhere from 18 months to 2 years before they really get entrenched with DevOps. And a lot of that is because the existing tools, processes, and people are kind of baked into more of a rigorous infrastructure provisioning and management and separate silo for development and whatnot. The DevOps, in terms of how the cloud can really help, DevOps was in some ways kind of born in the cloud, or at least popularized in the cloud to begin with, because the cloud allows us to move very fluidly between development and operations tasks. In fact, a lot of the traction that DevOps initially had was in the cloud kind of ISV space for organizations that are building new internet-enabled cloud applications. You know, back a few years ago, a lot of them, in order to meet the demands for their massive bases of users, you know, the Facebooks and Twitters and whatnot of the world, they realized that they needed to come up with a way of being able to develop, deploy, and operationalize improvements to their offer very quickly, to the point that some of them were doing 10 to 12 new releases per day of their software solutions. It's a little extreme when you compare that to the enterprise world, but having that kind of requirement really drove this focus initially early on in many communities around DevOps. And so today, when we think about the cloud and how even for enterprise IT organizations, the cloud can help to accelerate that transformation to DevOps, some of the things that I think of are that first, the cloud as a platform becomes a platform for both developers and IT pros, developers that are building applications as well as IT pros that are managing the different aspects, the different phases of those applications being delivered throughout a solution delivery cycle. And that provides a lot of value because having that single platform across all the development life cycles, across all of the development team members, also gives the opportunity to provide shared visibility to the key metrics for that application from a performance and availability and a monitoring standpoint, regardless of where the application or that solution is in the development life cycle. So that instead of developers and IT operations team members pointing fingers when an issue comes up in the deployment or the operation of an application that's been developed for an organization, that shared visibility and consistent platform gives them a consistent way of looking at it together, collaboratively as a team, and then working through those issues collaboratively together as a team.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, that's one of the huge benefits when you look at DevOps and why it's so important in our world today. Things seem to be moving faster and faster and faster, and we have to have that just that basic collaboration and communications. Like, we have a failure to communicate, right? We've always had that. DevOps is starting to break down some barriers that have been traditionally been there for a long, long time. And a lot of things now is we can help respond to those issues with when we look at technologies, it's, you know, devs pointing the finger at IT, IT pointing the finger to dev, and who do you actually try? I mean, how do you actually resolve those types of things? And DevOps helps to kind of almost fix those problems before they happen, or at least be aware of them when they occur, so things can be more efficiently. I mean, we talk about the extreme of what, 10, 12 releases in a day. Can you imagine an IT world land, in your IT world now, trying to do 12 versions of the same piece of software? Right? That's an impossibility. capability. I mean, even us for as a company at Microsoft, well, we're going to less than a year development cycle for our core operating systems and our core server technologies. That in itself used to be 3 years. So that speed's there. It's just amazing. And the term that I've heard you use before, I want you to talk a bit about, because it's something that it sounds really creepy and scary. But when we think about it, it's something that actually is kind of almost scary to IT organizations. And that's the concept of shadow IT. And what do you mean by, when I've heard you talk about it, Keith, but when you hear shadow IT, you go, ooh, spooky, right? But it really is kind of a big problem. Well, what's your take on it?
Yeah, no, definitely. One of the things that I've seen happen in lots of organizations, and I'm sure many of those in our audience that are listening today have seen it potentially happen right inside their own organization, is that with the availability of some pretty powerful technologies directly to end users or business units or developers, if IT, if from a structured standpoint, isn't providing developers and business units with a solution that's responsive quickly enough, those developers or business units oftentimes go and look for other ways of accomplishing what they feel they need to get done on a faster timeline. And so one of the areas that I've seen the cloud really empower an IT organization is in being able to leverage the cloud for design and development and test to spin up those new pilot or design dev test workloads very quickly, so that they're not seen by the development teams and the business units as being a initial roadblock or slowdown for getting a new project started. And that's really important, because it's IT back in the driver's seat of having a manageable IT infrastructure that they can spin up very quickly in the cloud and eliminate some of that initial slowdown that would otherwise happen through the requirements of infrastructure provisioning on premises, and be able to deliver that as a set of solutions to their development and business unit community internally, so that those people in their organization aren't going outside of the areas that IT is managing and looking for other creative ways of being able to deliver what they feel they need to get done.
Well, and that comes down to it. I've asked, I've been in front of developers and talked to them, how long does it take IT to give you a machine for just simple test and dev? And, I've heard answers anywhere between, 1 day to 45 days and everything in between. And it's kind of just it's really no fault of us as an IT and operations. It's just the limits of sometimes the technologies that we have on premises that really don't get us to enable this. And that's where the cloud gets really exciting. So when we think about our offering, Keith, and we think about what Windows Azure can offer IT shops, what are some of the benefits that you're seeing today that customers are really getting excited about around Azure? Because, I mean, it's easy for you and I to talk about infrastructure as a service, but there's a much bigger story there, especially with Azure.
Yeah, definitely. And so for many organizations, the cloud is going to be is an area that they're beginning to leverage for either new applications or perhaps some existing applications that they're moving forward with. But large enterprise IT organizations are also going to continue to have the on-premises infrastructure that they have today for running some of those applications into the foreseeable next few years. So there's this dichotomy of how do we, as an IT organization, support our on-premises infrastructure and then begin leveraging the cloud where it makes sense for migrating new applications, existing applications, or taking advantage of some of these capabilities in terms of DevOps. And so one of the big areas that I see a lot of IT pros having strong interest around Azure is Azure allows them to easily establish a hybrid infrastructure, a hybrid cloud environment, where Azure is seen as another secure, remote set of virtual subnets in their wide area network through either site-to-site VPN connectivity or ExpressRoute, our new high-speed direct connectivity into Azure. And from a management standpoint, unlike a lot of the other cloud solutions that are out there, instead of having to manage Azure versus their on-premises infrastructure separately between System Center and the Azure Pack, we have a lot of consistency that we can provide IT organizations for giving a single user interface that can manage both on-premises as well as up in the cloud. But back to our point on being able to provide that pervasive environment, part of what the Azure solution set offers, not just value to the IT pro, but in terms of DevOps, also value for giving that cloud platform integration into source code control through additional plugin technologies like Visual Studio Online, which gives a source control repository up in the cloud for being able to do dev and check in, check out of resources that are part of a new solution, testing, structured testing of those resources, and then through all of the life cycles of those applications, performance and application monitoring as well. So Visual Studio Online, being able to extend Azure as a shared platform across Dev and IT Pro is another big advantage. So when we think about hybrid, it's hybrid management and hybrid development across all of those areas.
Yeah, and I think one thing that you hit on there was the integration of this, so that we understand at Microsoft, we were born on on-premises, right? Our server technologies and all that there, and we basically forklifted all those up into a cloud offering from infrastructure services, even having a back end of the platform as a services. And even if you were to stretch it a bit into some of the things that we can do in our software services, like the Dynamics products that we have out there, as well as Office 365, we really offer that full platform from SaaS all the way down to on-premises. And quite frankly, folks, there's not another company in the world that can offer that type of integration from your on-premises network to a wide variety of resources that are out there, just to help from an infrastructure management. But the topic today we're talking about here is that Azure, hopefully everybody's like, oh, I need to get Azure. If you're an IT person, you're not excited about what you can do in Azure today, we need to have a serious talk. And hopefully what Keith kind of gave you was a premise of what's there. But when we think about where does Azure align with DevOps, I mean, it seems to kind of fit. That sounds like maybe that's DevOps, but where does it kind of fit? How do you see Azure actually aligning with DevOps?
Yep, that's a good question. One of the challenges that a lot of organizations are facing today that DevOps is really a key mission of is trying to balance the quality of a solution with the time that's required to deliver and deploy a reliable solution. And so that quality versus time aspect is huge. And we've actually seen this even inside of our own product teams back at Microsoft, where, as you mentioned earlier, Matt, you know, typical box product could be anywhere from a 8-month to 3-year window of being able to deliver a quality solution. And as we start leveraging the cloud and Azure in particular, and the way that it plugs into development and management tools as a portion of our overall solution offering, what our teams at Microsoft have seen from a development standpoint is being able to really leverage the cloud to quickly spin up new dev environments and then begin thinking about designing applications that are really much more modular and value driven, instead of having a 500 features that need to be in the next rev of this solution, for instance, thinking about it as what are the collection of capabilities that are needed to deliver particular value back into a business unit, back into the organization, or back into the customers that you're developing those solutions for? And begin thinking about ways of compartmentalizing those solutions, delivering them, iterating through a design, dev, publish, test, a release to UAT testing, and then release to production users. Iterate through that quickly so that your solutions become a set of solution building blocks that build on top of one another. The other aspect that I've seen in taking that approach is that Azure as a platform is, in comparison to other cloud platforms, much more than just running VMs up in the cloud. You know, Azure, when you think about that building block approach of being able to quickly iterate through components that provide value of a solution back to a business organization, we also have significant investment in developing Azure's platform as a service offerings as well. So that instead of developers having to worry about building, coding the plumbing of an application to support identity management or communications across a network for a distributed application or media streaming, content hosting, or storage or whatnot, they can leverage the PaaS build blocks that are all part of Azure to provide very quickly that plumbing, get things interconnected, so that the developers are focused on writing the coding work around the unique business logic for the business processes of a particular solution problem or application. And that gives the developers a lot of time back. So when we think about the resources that Azure provides, sure, we can run virtual machines and build virtual networks in the cloud as part of Azure's infrastructure as a service. But unlike many of the other cloud vendors, that's only an entry point to our Azure cloud. It's not a final resting place. Once we have applications running in the cloud, being able to leverage and integrate PaaS components or even software as a service components in terms of prepackaged website templates is a true differentiator on the Azure platform. I believe that we're still the only major cloud provider that has end-to-end offerings for infrastructure, platform, and software as a service that aren't silos, that can be integrated together to deliver complete application solutions.
Yeah, and that's when you look at it, it gets really exciting. And also, something about this, we talk about, you know, developers code and write. Notice that Keith hasn't mentioned anywhere, oh, we have to do this all on Windows Server, all on .NET. Our infrastructure solutions and our cloud solutions, I should say, supports a heterogeneous kind of development environment, from if you want to use Java or PHP, or if you wanted to run it on CentOS inside of your environments. Guess what? We support that all up in the cloud with our technologies. Now, we think we have a compelling story with our technologies in and of themselves. But folks, I understand this. You're training your development staff into a different language. That's something that's not even feasible in today's day and world. So understand that you can bring what you have and what knowledge skills that you have into our cloud platforms. We're going to welcome that heterogeneous world that we have. So Keith, you want to kind of give us a tour and kind of see what some of this stuff looks like in action? Even though we can't really show DevOps per se, we can show some of the pieces and bits and where they fit into that whole story of that process and that management of that cycle. You want to take us through some of the tour?
Sure, definitely. Why don't we move on over into the lab and take a look at Azure and Visual Studio Online and our cloud offerings, how they work together to help an organization accelerate their DevOps transition. I'll meet you over in the lab in a few minutes.
Perfect.
Well, Matt, here we are in our lab environment, and right now we're looking at my Azure subscription through one of the management tools that's built right into the Azure platform, the web-based Microsoft Azure Management Portal. This is a portal that, to your point on open standards, is written based in HTML5 and JavaScript, so it'll run across any standard browser and any platform that supports HTML5 and JavaScript. Going back to that point, we're not providing Azure just strictly for development teams and IT pros that are running on the Windows platform. It's really an open standard platform for hosting a variety of workloads, Windows, Linux, other open source technologies, even Oracle. Is certified for the Azure platform. And so along the left side of our navigation pane, you'll see a lot of the components that we were talking about as part of Azure. So we've got infrastructure as a service components that we can work on through virtual machines and storage. And if we scroll down a little further on this portal, down under networks as well. But then we've also got the platform as a service components around websites and mobile services, cloud services, and SQL database as a service, and big data in terms of Hadoop, HD Insight, big data as a service. So through this one management portal, we have the ability to provision and manage all those various components in harmony to the solutions that we're developing. But this web interface is really just one interface for leveraging Azure. We also have integration with System Center as part of our hybrid cloud management strategy for managing on-premises and Azure-based solutions, as well as integration with Visual Studio for developers that need to be able to deploy or publish new applications, perhaps into their MSDN dev test account. But one of the biggest areas that I see IT pros really excited about with Azure is being able to leverage Azure to get out of the business of manual provisioning new developer environments. Because we all know developers have all sorts of tools that they like to have in their environment. You know, it could be, in addition to the base operating system, could be tools like Visual Studio or other SDKs or a variety of open source tools like Git and GitHub. And if they're developing on top of SQL or Oracle or whatnot, all those tools as well. And it becomes a pretty painful process in a lot of organizations for IT pros to be feeling like they're constantly provisioning new dev environments in their on-premises infrastructure. It's a big time suck for them. In Azure, we go over to the virtual machines page, and down on our bottom toolbar, if we just click on the new button, over under virtual machines, we have a gallery of virtual machines that includes standard operating system images as well as special images just for building new dev environments in just a couple minutes, actually. In fact, on our choose an image page the gallery provides, if we wanted to see just the canned developer images, we can check the MSDN checkbox. And for our developers, once we've checked that, it will display the developer images that are all provided in Azure for developers that have an MSDN Microsoft Developer Network subscription. Now, if your developers don't currently have MSDN subscriptions, your organization will definitely want to check that out, because not only does the MSDN subscription give developers a set of pre-built developer platform images that they can use for spinning up new VMs, or you can help them with to spin up those VMs in just a few minutes, but it also gives some important Azure benefits that gives them access to Azure for using Azure as not only their dev platform, but also their initial test platform, so that when they're looking at building the initial stages of designing and coding and some testing around new solutions, you don't have to worry about provisioning anything on premises. You just go out and select the particular image that includes the tools that they need. You'll notice we've got developer images for server operating systems, as well as client operating systems. Windows 8.1 and Windows 7 are there as well for developers. But essentially, they just go through the process of picking the image and then stepping through configuring that image with the size and name and their initial user account and whatnot. Now, if on the other hand, in your organization, you have your own pre-built dev images today, well, that's a great start. In order to leverage the Azure platform, you can upload those pre-built dev images, and they'll show up under My Images, so that if you do have your own pre-built images, you can leverage those very quickly, as well as our standard images. Now, we've already gone through the process of spinning up one of our pre-built Visual Studio Ultimate images. You'll see it running here. And I'm just going to click on the Connect button down at the bottom. That's going to switch me into a remote desktop connection to the console of that VM. So I wanted to show that when you provision one of the images, it's more than just giving you the bare operating system and Visual Studio thrown in. It actually includes a number of SDKs. It includes additional developer tools. It includes an environment on the server image for actually building SharePoint solutions or SQL Server solutions as well. So you'll see all of the other tools that an enterprise developer commonly uses for building on the Microsoft stack, in this case, are all pre-built and baked in. And again, if you have other images that you want to leverage, you can certainly and customize those, create your own images in Azure as well. And we talked a little bit earlier about the integration that Visual Studio has from a development standpoint. So if I launch Visual Studio, and I'm just going to bring it up here.
And as that's coming up, I think one point that Keith has done great is showing you this image. We're talking about this whole image comes up in about, 10, 15 minutes tops, full server environment. So when he goes through that and he would have finished that wizard in about 10 to 15 minutes, he would have had this full development environment. Think about it from an IT perspective. How long does it take you to actually provide an IT infrastructure to your developers or to your users? I mean, even on the fast side, you're still talking a couple of hours. Here we're talking in minutes, and that's one of the great things that a cloud can really enable organizations.
Yep, definitely. So here we've got Visual Studio 2013 with the new Update 2 that was announced a few months ago back at our Build conference. And Update 2 is awesome because it offers some improved integration with a new version of the Azure SDK for developers, so that right from within Visual Studio, as developers are doing their file, new project, to build a new project, whether it's a web-based project or a client project or an open source project, and they step through the process of selecting an initial template and building their project, you'll see some pretty cool things along the way. First, we have the ability to add this project into source control And from a cloud standpoint, that source control could be Visual Studio Online that we're adding that into, to be able to handle and manage a team of developers actually working on checking in and checking out different releases of this solution. If I click OK, then when it prompts me for the type, in this case, the type of ASP.NET project that I want, I'll just pick a base MVC project. You'll see that it also, right on the same screen, gives me the ability to provision the Azure resources for building out a complete test environment for this new solution that I'm building. So as a developer, as Matt pointed out, within 5 or 10 minutes, I can use my MSDN account, spin up a VM with all the tools pre-installed, in 5 or 10 minutes, be at the point of doing file new project, but then also have the ability to spin up a new VM or a new website in my MSDN account as a test environment for me, for being able to do real functional testing of that application. And so we've already got a few projects that are actually already spun up, so I'll just cancel out of this. I wanted to show you that. For managing your existing solutions that are deployed from a development standpoint over on Azure, we've also got Azure support integrated into Server Explorer right inside Visual Studio, so that if the developer deployed that application as a new virtual machine, well, we've got the ability to see all of the virtual machines that the developer's provisioned inside their subscription. The developer has the ability to connect right from within Visual Studio using remote desktop or shutdown or start or enable debugging of them. In fact, if we go up top to where the virtual machines are the virtual machine node itself exists, we can even create manually just new virtual machines and be able to select a particular subscription. I'll go ahead and select my MSDN subscription and step through the same process that we saw during the management portal that we were walking through, the steps we were walking through on the management portal, exposed right from within Visual Studio. We have the ability to also see web applications, websites that are provisioned on Azure websites, be able to interact with them, or Azure Cloud Services that we've developed using our PaaS model, be able to right-click and manage and see the properties of them. Now, from a source control standpoint, we've also got direct support in Visual Studio for integrating with Visual Studio Online. And Visual Studio Online, you can think of as a version of our Team Foundation Server source control solution that is living up in a cloud platform. So again, from an infrastructure management standpoint, you don't have to worry about provisioning and deploying TFS in an on-premises environment to give your developers a secure, shared source control repository. You can do it all through TFS. But it's more than just Visual Studio that plugs into, or Visual Studio Online, rather, that plugs into Visual Studio 2013. If we go over to our Connect Team Projects panel, you'll see we also have the ability to add Git repositories directly into Visual Studio as well. So if you're using Git for more of an open source development standpoint, you certainly leverage that as part of Visual Studio as well. So we've got this shared experience. IT pros can look at Azure from management portal standpoint. Developers can look at it from a Visual Studio standpoint. But if I switch back over to our Azure portal, we, from IT pro standpoint, have lots of other value here that we can work collaboratively with developers on. For instance, the website, the web application that we just deployed through Visual Studio with our developers, we have the ability right through the Azure portal to see what it is those developers have deployed. So again, complete visibility. And then be able to drill into those web applications. And from an IT standpoint, if we need to scale them up to handle a higher load as those applications move from testing into UAT or UAT into production, we have the ability to do that. We can flip from a free basic website mode that's great for testing over to a standard mode and be able to specify a particular instance size to scale that up. Or if I go ahead and save this, click yes. As we scroll down a bit, we'll see the ability to also configure auto-scaling support. So on our website, we could say, well, not only do we want to be able to scale it to maybe one or two instances initially to support our base users, but we want to set up a a schedule that allows us to automatically scale up and scale down our application during different periods of time based on utilization that we're seeing during those periods of time. So I'll go ahead and set up a schedule for weekday versus weeknight versus weekend. And then for my web application, go over to CPU and be able to scale up my instance counts that I want to use as a range. So I could say, well, normally I want just 2 instance counts during the weekday to give myself some basic load balancing and availability and of my application. But if my target CPU utilization goes over 80% on a ongoing basis, on a an averaged basis, I wanted to spin up additional instances, up to 7 instances of that web application. And if it drops down below a low water mark, like 60%, I wanted to start spinning down some of those resources. Now, having this ability of elastic resource management is huge for IT organizations as we're going through a DevOps lifecycle. Because what I see in the on-premises world in a lot of cases, when you're not using this kind of elastic cloud, is a lot of resource waste. Because what happens is a new project gets submitted to IT for provisioning in an on-premises infrastructure. And as an IT guy, you always have to try to provision things for that worst-case scenario of highest utilization. So even if a project's just in dev and test and basic pilot right now, you're still, in many cases, provisioning a substantial amount of resources that otherwise go unused, even when the application goes to production, because those resources are standing by even during low periods of utilization, like when you're working, when you're running the application on the weekend or after hours during the week when the user load is really light. This dynamic resource allocation, this automatic scaling that a cloud platform like Azure can provide, gives you the ability to really equate an equitable cost solution in line with the performance that you need at the moment that you need it. So some pretty cool stuff. But it actually goes beyond that as well, because even for our web applications that were, or other applications that were publishing to Azure as a web or a cloud service or whatnot, we also have the ability to swing over to our dashboard area and integrate this directly with source control. So if I click on setup from source control, you'll see that, hey, I can have a release management process now put in place where as my developers are checking in new tested releases of their code, I can connect this application directly to a Visual Studio Online repository or a Git repository or GitHub or heck, it could even be an FTP site, an external repository, or a Dropbox site. And the idea here is that rather than having to manually deploy those new releases, I have the ability to connect this to my source control repository to have those new releases auto-deployed. Where I see this integrated source control working in a lot of cases is with a new deployment slot feature that we're offering for web apps and cloud applications. What deployment slots allow us to do is create various slots within Azure for our production version of our application versus a UAT version versus a test version, for instance. So we'll say, hey, I want to create a deployment slot for doing user acceptance testing of new releases of our application. So I'll go ahead and create a new UAT slot. What that'll do is under our web application, it'll actually give us 2 different slots for our web app, one for our production web app, and one for deploying our UAT, our next release of that application that needs to go through UAT testing. When I drill into my UAT slot, just go ahead and refresh, take a moment for that to create. When I drill into that UAT slot, I now have the ability to hook up my deployment from source control directly to that UAT slot. So as my developer through their dev and test, in their own MSDN subscriptions, and then check in their tested code to Visual Studio Online or GitHub or whatnot, I can have a UAT slot on my production application, continuously deploying those changes to UAT so that my my user acceptance testing users can be able to review that application. And as, there we go, there's my UAT slot. So I can set up source code control from that UAT slot. And then as they come back and say, yeah, everything's tested out fine, I have the ability to easily swap between UAT and production for very easy roll forward and roll back of changes. So I can say, great, I'm ready to deploy my next round of changes that have gone through user acceptance testing, swap from UAT to production, or if I need to roll back, if there's something unexpected that occurred that maybe made it through UAT testing somehow, I can swap back from production to UAT and reverse back very quickly the way that things were just prior to deploying that new release. So a lot of powerful capabilities that exist. Now, the last piece that I wanted to touch on was Visual Studio Online. We already saw where Visual Studio Online can poke through from a developer point of view into Visual Studio. But I just wanted to point out that from an IT point of view, Visual Studio Online also pokes through right in the main Azure portal. You can jump over to that Azure portal, go to the Visual Studio Online tab. You'll see a direct link over to your Visual Studio Online subscription. When you click on that, that gives you as an IT pro direct visibility into the same projects that developers are working on from within Visual Studio. So that you have the ability to drill into those projects, be able to see the code that they've checked in, be able to see the current list of work items for resolving issues, potentially submit or collaborate on those work items, step through a structured testing process. So all of the things that typically reside in that dev silo now can also be brought over to your side of the house from an IT operations standpoint, so that there's no mystery on what's going on in that dev, over in the dev team, in helping resolve or address application items or work item requests. You have shared visibility into their work. They have direct shared visibility into your work, so that you can collaborate together. Well, Matt, what do you think so far? You think these features are going to be powerful in helping to help IT pros deliver some business value back into the organization and working with their developers?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think when people think of DevOps, they normally don't think of us. They don't think of Microsoft Azure or something that can help them, or even some of the Visual Studios. And hopefully they'll see some of the power that we have here, that we really are a true player in this environment, actually doing a lot of great work. And I mean, you just touched the surface, you know, in 15 to 20 minutes of a quick demo to show you kind of what the components are there. But we are a serious player when you look at all the integration components that we have, from our development tools to just be able to spin up the different environments, from our web environments to our infrastructure services, that I think if companies are in the process of looking at DevOps solutions for the organizations, Microsoft Azure should definitely be in that conversation.
Yep, definitely. Well, why don't we head back to the office and we'll finish up our episode with everyone.
Well, thanks, Keith, for giving us a tour for that. And I know people are going to be begging for getting more information. One area I definitely recommend to visit is we actually have a blog series on DevOps in the cloud. If you go to aka.ms/DevOps in the cloud, you can learn more. But we also have a lot of free trials and resources that are available to you. If you're a startup organization and you're looking at developing some of your apps, we have a fantastic program that will give all kinds of free software and free MSDN subscriptions. It's called BizSpark. And if you follow the links in the slide, you can learn more about that program. But folks, if you're a startup business and you're looking for help for some of those technology decisions, because you're a business first and foremost, BizSpark is something you want to definitely check out. As with Azure, since we'll be at the very beginning of it, we actually have Azure free trials. So you definitely want to sign up for those free trials. You can get a month or up to $200 of Azure spend, so you can actually just give it a test. So everything we just showed you, you can actually step through and learn more about that. And then if you're looking to go down the certification path, I definitely highly recommend Early Experts. And right now we're doing a lot of really good things about talking about our Hyper-V platform, which is not only for on-premises, but it's actually what supports our cloud infrastructure as well. So you definitely want to check out those programs as we continue on. Keith, I want to say thank you once again. Thank you to everybody else listening. And Keith, if you have any last words.
Yeah, no, thanks, Matt. And then going through the blog series that Matt called out, if you have additional areas that you're interested in from a DevOps and cloud perspective, feel free to leave those in the comments on our blog. You may also want to check out the MVA Jumpstart on Microsoft Virtual Academy for DevOps at akams slash DevOps.js. So be sure to check that out as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, Keith, and everybody have a great day.
Thanks, everybody.